Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. A lot to talk about today. Scott Peterson's trial. He's been convicted, and now they're entering into the penalty phase on Tuesday, next Tuesday. And we want to do whatever we can to influence jurors, family members, any who are hesitating, who are unsure of what God thinks about the death penalty. We want them to know that the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, call for the death penalty for convicted murderers. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. If you're interested in helping out with that, we have a few people, three people so far, who said they'd be willing to drive out to California, leave Sunday at noon, to head out there to distribute a few thousand flyers, first on Monday in Modesto, and then on Tuesday in Redwood City, California, where the courthouse is. So if you're interested in doing that, or we're also thinking about trying to put a quarter-page ad out in their local newspaper laying out all the biblical evidence in the New Testament for the death penalty. So if you're thinking of you'd like to help with that, encourage us, then consider coming along or consider making a donation. Now, the ad only costs $2,000. Jason Troyer, is that a good deal?
I have no idea if that's a good deal, but if the message gets to the right people, then it's an absolutely good deal.
Yeah, imagine if there's somebody who's going to testify. Let's say Sharon Rocha, Lacey's mother, who many analysts, talking heads on the news, are thinking that if she, with how much dignity she's had through this whole tragedy, and with standing for the Lacey and Connor Peterson Act, where it's a federal law on federal property, if a woman is murdered and she has an unborn child in her womb, then the murderer gets two counts of murder. And when George W. Bush signed that into law, Sharon Rocha was standing right behind him. She's really been dignified and honorable throughout this entire tragedy. So many people are thinking if she asked the jury for leniency for life, they'd probably go along with it. Whereas if she asked for death, they'd probably do that too.
Well, Bob, I have to admit, I haven't been paying too much attention to this trial.
Yeah, good for you.
Because I still remember the O.J. Simpson trial.
Right.
And the justice system is just broke.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put my effort and my heart on the line to think this guy is going to—
For one particular trial.
For this guy to be held accountable and for justice, because I don't think that's going to happen in our system.
Well, often, right. But he was convicted of murdering his wife and his unborn child, which is tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in California. But nobody should say, see, the system works, because it doesn't. It's broken. But even a broken clock is right twice a day. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system.
Now, I'm going to have to go back to Little Rock, because I was one of the ones that was arrested for standing on a public sidewalk without holding a sign by myself. And I was arrested for protesting without a permit.
Right.
So even if I go back to Little Rock and a Christian lawyer who is still considering whether he's going to take the case or not, but probably will, free of charge.
With the AFA, American Family Association.
Yeah. So it won't cost me money to hire a lawyer. I'll have to go back there so that'll cost me money and expenses. But even if I'm found not guilty, I'm not going to say, see, the system works.
See, the system works.
Because the punishment is I have to go back to Little Rock.
Yeah, right. Doesn't work right. You were just, free speech. You're standing on a public sidewalk. You didn't even have a sign.
I know. It's amazing what the police can do.
Yeah.
So that
Bill Clinton wouldn't have to be confronted with the accusation that he raped Juanita Broderick, one of his campaign supporters. But Jason, if you did win your case, instead of saying "see, the system works," we can say that it's a random event in a mindless system.
And I've heard you say that after some of your trials, when you were acquitted and if the reporters come up and, Mr. Enyart, you must be so pleased with the outcome.
Is this a victory? They always ask that. And no, it's a random event in a mindless system. So anyway, we're going to try to get a few thousand flyers distributed in California this Monday and Tuesday coming. We didn't have much time to plan for this because we were in Little Rock for the opening of the Clinton Library, which we'll talk about in a minute more. But so this is coming right up, and I thank God they postponed it a week. I was really distraught that it was happening on the heels of us returning. And we got one extra week to plan. And if we can get a quarter-page ad in the newspaper out there, and a few thousand of these distributed, that'll be great. There just might be a juror who might read something on the death penalty. That's not against the law.
No.
And there might be a witness who might get one of these flyers. And, hey, what do you think of the flyer itself?
It's a wonderful flyer with Scott Peterson's
mugshot
right there.
In color, on the cover.
We should have put some bars over his face with Photoshop to make it look like he's in prison. But
the New Testament support for the death penalty. And it goes through, and some Christians reject the death penalty for Scott Peterson on the grounds that, and then we list all the common objections. But then we show all what the New Testament teaches about the death penalty. It's pretty strong that murderers should be put to death. Okay, also, Jason, before then, the Little Rock, the Clinton Library opening, how about Thursday is Thanksgiving.
That's right.
And you should always, if you're part of a church, you should always visit people at home when they can't make it to church.
The visitation program at your church. That should be an essential part of any church program.
Yeah, so at Denver Bible Church, we have our holiday home visit, our holiday abortionist home visit, where since our local abortionist can't seem to make it to our church, we go visit him 8 holidays a year. And so tomorrow, Thursday, is Thanksgiving, 9 in the morning, 9 a.m., we meet. Where do we meet?
We meet at Winchell's at Evans and Monaco.
Winchell's Donuts.
That's right. So it's southeast of town.
Mm-hmm.
So
Evans is off of I-25.
That's right.
And you head east from the highway a mile or so to Monaco. And right there, there's Winchell's Donuts.
There's still some construction in the area with T-Rex and all. So
you can
make your plans. Make your plans and plan to be there a little early and have a donut and cup of coffee.
Yeah, we fellowship before we go. Have a cup of coffee, and the kids get orange juice or milk, and then we go just for 1 hour into the abortionist neighborhood. Now, which abortionist is this?
That's Edward O'Loughlin.
Yeah, and we've been going there for 12 years or so to his house.
That's right. I can't remember anybody else's address, but 9057 East Evans Court is burned into my brain.
How do you remember?
For some
yeah,
reason,
that's
I forget where I live sometimes.
What's
but
the address?
9057 East Evans Court.
Okay. And so it's only a 5-minute drive from that Winchell's Donuts. And we go there, and why? What's our main goal? To get him to repent?
Well, we've been doing this a while, and he hasn't repented yet.
Right.
So if we show
Not
him,
likely.
Yeah, if we show him more graphic pictures and present him with our reasons why he should quit over and over again, he probably won't quit. His mind is pretty much made up. He's going to sell his soul for that amount of money that he makes at Planned Parenthood.
Hard heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so they kill unborn children there between 8 weeks and 18 weeks or something like that. At Planned Parenthood, 7 weeks. So they kill mostly first trimester, a little bit into second trimester maybe, unborn children. And he does the majority of the killing at Planned Parenthood, and he has for years. And we go there. If we don't think he's going to repent, then what in the world are we wasting our time for on holidays? Christmas morning, I'd rather be just with my kids. Well, I take my kids, but why are we doing it?
Well, we live in a country where a lot of kids will never see the light of day, and they don't have a voice to speak up for themselves, so we as Christians need to stand up for our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we go to the abortionist neighborhood is to discourage future abortionists from ever starting the killing, because they would much rather deal with fungus on toenails. And they're
like
on
be
someone's
a dermatologist
feet.
Instead of an abortionist.
Absolutely.
Because dermatologists never get protesters at their homes on like Mother's Day, July 4th, Labor Day, Thanksgiving.
And pro-lifers have done the research to find out that abortionist home visits work. There is an incredible hardship in the abortion industry trying to recruit abortionists. There are medical students that say we are pro-abortion, we stand for a woman's right to choose, but they themselves won't become abortionists because they know of what they're going to have to deal with.
Right.
And one of the things that we did on our trip to Little Rock is we stopped off in Wichita, Kansas, where late-term abortionist Tiller the Killer
George
works.
Tiller.
Yeah. And so as we were driving out from Denver, we stopped there, and at 6 in the morning, we didn't go to his house, but we went to a clinic worker's house. And that's one of the new strategies in the pro-life movement to discourage the clinic itself. Because abortionists get paid quite a bit of money for very little work.
They become millionaires.
Absolutely.
It takes minutes to kill the baby and they line up the women and they go from room to room and they make a fortune.
That's right.
They don't take checks.
That's right. So what the people who don't make a lot of money at the abortion clinics are the nursing assistants and the medical staff that isn't the abortionist. They get paid relatively very little. So at Tiller's Clinic in Wichita, Kansas, they've had an incredible amount of turnover at that facility.
Because they're going to the homes of the employees.
That's right.
And when we went there, it was 6 a.m. We got there and it was dark out. And there was a huge panel truck that had pictures of unborn children. And we went there with our signs. And there were how many of us? There were about 15 of us or so. And gradually the sun came up, but it was eerie because it was dark when we got there and neighbors would be stirring in their houses and all of a sudden lights would go on or neighbors would be leaving to go to work. And it's got to be an eerie thing to realize there are 15 people or so protesting outside of your home in the dark. And the woman who works at the abortion mill, before she came out, her husband came out. That was a trip, Jason. Her husband was in an arguing mood, I think, and we had quite a discussion with him and some neighbors. But anyway, we're encouraging her to quit. That's the bottom line.
That's right. It's not worth her soul to work there.
And the misery of her neighbors and her residential area.
That's right.
And so a number of workers at Tiller's Mill, George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas, quit.
That's right. And so they're having a hard time keeping staff. So one of the things that Tiller has done to try to keep staff available is he no longer does abortions on Saturday, which is a huge day to do abortions because people are off work. And so they think, okay, Saturday morning, I'll go have my abortion. Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting things here in Colorado is that Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs actually performs more abortions Saturday morning than the Planned Parenthood in Denver.
Because they don't do them during the week.
That's right. They save them up and do them all on Saturday. Whereas the Planned Parenthood in Denver does abortions 5 days a week.
They kill 15 kids, 20 kids a day.
Yeah. So it's a hardship. It's a further hoop to jump through to say you can't have the abortion at Tiller's Mill on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So it might not save babies' lives, but it very well might because just the inconvenience. The more inconvenient you can make it for a woman, the less likely it is for her to have an abortion.
Mm. All right. And so then we left there after the sun came up. That we drove from Denver to Wichita, did the morning protest. We met 5:45 in the morning or something, went to that employee's home. Then we drove to Wichita. We did all our anti-Clinton protests there. But one morning, early in the morning, we went, instead of going to the library area, since the night before all the Clinton supporters were partying, they'd probably have hangovers and all, sleeping it off. We went out early in the morning to the Little Rock Family Planning Center, the most notorious abortion mill in Arkansas.
And you know why it's the most notorious abortion mill in Arkansas? It's the only abortion mill in Arkansas. That's the only freestanding abortion clinic in the whole state of Arkansas. So if we can, as a pro-life community, shut that down, then it's actually easier to get doctors in their offices to stop committing abortions. Because once you expose what they do
in their office,
they run. And they don't want the women who do just general
OBGYN
type of services.
He delivers my baby.
Yeah, the doctors don't want the women to know that they do that. And most women don't ask their OBGYNs.
Yeah, so, we exposed one doctor in Denver some years ago, and a woman listening to the show, he had delivered her first four kids, and she was pregnant with the fifth. And she went into his office, and she said, "I want you to know I heard that you do abortions, and I will not come here again, and I hope that you stop."
That's fabulous.
Yeah. So anyway, we went there, and some of the neighbors, even neighbors like who work in the offices around that, it's a medical community sort of, they were supportive and wishing that that place would close down.
That's right. And a lot of times what I try to do is strike up a conversation, no matter how gentle. I just want people to respond to what we're doing. So I was walking down the road kind of spreading our people out. So there were a few people at street corners so that women driving up would see the information, see the signs, and have a further opportunity to change their mind. So I was walking down the street, maybe about a half a block away from the abortion clinic, and there was a few workers standing outside smoking cigarettes. They were on their smoke break. And I said, "It's a beautiful morning to save a life, isn't it?" Huh. And they looked at me and said, "Yeah, it is." Huh. So they didn't think I was a kook. And right. Well, they might have, but at least they responded positive to me.
And we show the huge signs of the aborted children on that main drag, Markham or whatever mm-hmm. it was. Everything in Little Rock, everything is called Markham Street. I don't get that, but there's Markham everywhere.
It's less confusing that way.
So we were on Markham, and thousands of cars came by during the hours we were there from early in the morning, and that was just great. And we got a lot of thumbs up, and the pro-aborts give us, I don't know, it's the International Pro-Choice hand signal.
Well, they say babies are number one. That's what they constantly tell us.
Yeah. And it's migrating birds, the way I see it.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, many people were positive, and that was real encouraging to see.
Mm-hmm.
So on the way to Little Rock, we stopped in Wichita at George Tiller's abortuary. Then in Little Rock, one day while the Clintonistas were sleeping off their hangovers, we went out early to try to save a life, and there was one baby that may have been saved that day. Do you remember Tom Healy from Texas, the retired Marine, his story?
Yeah, well, Tom was telling that to us, and we don't necessarily count that as a save.
Because we don't know.
Exactly. We want to be 100% sure. We don't want to guess. We're conservatives, so we want to be conservative.
Yeah. Like in Denver, if 80, 93 babies get saved at Planned Parenthood in 1 year, we give the number every year. Those are strong numbers. That's where the mothers have confirmed to us that they decided not to kill their baby because of the protesters. But here in Wichita.
In Little Rock.
In Little Rock, sorry. tell the retired Marine, ex-law enforcement guy, what did he say?
You know, there's so many stories in Little Rock.
Okay, I remember.
Okay, go ahead.
He had a talk with a young black woman who was maybe, he guessed, early 20s, and she was in her car. And she pulled over. He was about a half block away from the entrance of the mill, and she was crying her eyes out. And he was explaining to her why abortion is wrong and you shouldn't go in there. And she was in tears, and she was thankful, and she drove away. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. It was, like you said, it wasn't 100% confirmed, but it was really, you know, it very well could have been a save right then.
Yeah. And one of the good things that we did that morning is because we had our people spread out, going from the abortion mill itself up about a half a block to an intersection and then around the corner up to the major thoroughfare, yeah, Markham, as you mentioned earlier, all the office buildings in that area saw us. Now, what happens when pro-lifers show up to an abortion clinic? Well, first of all, in Little Rock, they only have one local guy who goes out there by himself, a very brave man because you never know what the pro-aborts are going to say that you did. So
he protests all by himself.
Yeah, so it's hard for him to create a scene, hard for him to inform everyone in those office buildings what's going on. But when you have 30 people show up, some with graphic signs, others with just signs that said abortion kills children, people start calling the police because they don't know what's going on. Mm. So we probably had 5 to 10 squad cars in that neighborhood. So that, of course, catches your attention in the office buildings as squad cars come there with their lights on. And we expect that, and we like police officers because they protect us.
Yeah, they protect us, and you want it to be a zoo atmosphere. You don't want child killing with tranquility, with serenity. You want it to be a zoo because very few women want to go to a zoo to have an abortion.
That's right.
So they show up, and it's a zoo, it's a carnival, it's a madhouse, and a number of them over the years, tens of thousands, leave the abortion mill and don't kill their child.
That's right. And we have some friendly police officers here in Denver who, when they show up to deal with a loudness call or something like that, they'll actually pull up into the driveway at Planned Parenthood and park and then get out and start talking to people. And
which helps us because then when a woman drives in to kill her child, she pauses because there's a car in the driveway. Sometimes we put signs up that say closed or lot full. And the women park on the street, and then Joe Scott or whoever gets a chance to talk to them. All right, so that went well. And then when we drove back from Little Rock, we again stopped in Wichita. And this time at 6 in the morning, we met at the abortion mill and we protested there.
That's right. And the surprising thing there was not only did we see George Tiller there, we saw another infamous late-term abortionist
Carhart.
At that same mill. That's right. Leroy Carhart out of Nebraska, who we talked to the locals there in Wichita, and they say that he shows up, I believe, twice a month to help Tiller out.
There's too many late-term abortions to do.
Yeah.
Because Tiller specializes in late-term. In fact, he has the contract for Canada. The government pays in Canada. When it's a third trimester baby, they'll fly the Canadian woman down to Wichita and kill the baby there. And he has, you go there, you protest, he's got an incinerator in the abortion mill, and he literally burns the babies, and the smoke and the ashes come out the smokestack. And you could mm-hmm. smell the babies burned. It's like being outside of Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And you could sometimes see the ashes floating by.
And they act confused when we call them Nazis and we make comparisons to the security guard. And we say, do you think that the security guards who stood outside of Auschwitz and watched the Jews get unloaded from rail cars and go in and be killed, you think those guards are guilty of murder? Oh, and then they'll say, well, there's no correlation. I said, yeah, there is, because because you're not killing that baby with your own bare hands does not mean that you're not accountable for that baby's death.
Good.
You stand there and do nothing while little babies die right behind your back, mm-hmm. and you claim, I'm just doing my job.
All right. So that was on our way back. We had a great time there. And that gives you an idea, too, how many late-term abortions are done when George Tiller needs help, and he gets paid thousands of dollars each for these late-term kills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we passed the partial birth abortion ban, I knew the answer, but I asked the hardcore pro-lifers there in Wichita, I asked them, how many babies have been saved with the partial birth abortion ban? And they looked at me like I was a moron. And they said, zero, none. Because if they can't kill the babies that way, they just use a different technique. And they got all kinds of ways to kill late-term unborn children. And it's saved no children at all, zero. But not only that, it's given cover for pro-abort politicians who can say, well, I voted against partial birth abortion. And the moronic pro-life Christians think, well, he's not too bad. He voted against partial birth abortion.
And how much income has groups like National Right to Life brought in from the pro-life community to fight the partial birth abortion debate for years and years, and with millions of dollars they've spent waging that war, and it's absolutely meaningless.
Right.
And Christians who desperately want to see an end to abortion unfortunately naively give their money to groups like National Right to Life, and National Right to Life has
their big accomplishment is the partial birth abortion ban,
which doesn't do anything.
It's actually counterproductive, and it'd be like being in Nazi Germany and you outlaw using Zyklon B gas to kill the Jews, and so now they're using just the ovens and they're shooting them.
Well, that's a victory.
Right.
So
it's bizarre.
The logic. Right. Well, why don't we get back to the Scott Peterson trial?
Yeah. Let me do that. I'll invite, and thank you very much, Jason Troyer, for coming into the studio. We appreciate that. Okay. The penalty phase begins a week from today, next Tuesday, November 30th. And it's so important. It may not happen, but we pray that he gets the death penalty. Why is that? Because God in the Bible, God is speaking in the Bible, and he says this. He says, will you profane me keeping people alive who should not live? If you don't support the execution of a convicted murderer, you're sinning. It's a sin. You're making yourself nicer than God, more merciful than God. You think you're wiser than God. And that's wrong. And God makes it clear in the Bible that when you don't swiftly execute the punishment against a criminal, then you have a crime epidemic. And so if you're hesitant or weak on the death penalty, not only are you part of the problem which causes a crime epidemic where we have hundreds of thousands of Americans murdered in their recent past, hundreds of thousands of Americans murdered in the recent past. And think of all those Americans then who have become murderers, which is even a greater tragedy than being murdered. is becoming a murderer. And all that nightmare, and a large part of it, is because we don't have the swift and painful death penalty for every convicted murderer. So we are going to try to influence, if we can, we'll at least make the last-minute effort to get the word out in Modesto, California, and Redwood City, California, that the New Testament supports the death penalty. So we have this flyer, and it's just such an excellent flyer. And it has Scott Peterson's mugshot on the cover. And then it quotes a verse from the New Testament, Romans 13:4, which says that a governing official does not bear the sword in vain. For he, that is the governing official, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath with the sword, to execute wrath. That's what the government is supposed to do. So if you're at all interested in helping us distribute a few thousand flyers in Modesto, California, and then Redwood City, please call us here at Bob and Yart Live. Call Denver Bible Church. Our phone number here is 1-800-8-NYARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. And you can, well, you can check us out online, of course, at kgov.com. But we'd like to get a few people out there to distribute flyers. And then also, this would take an extraordinary act by just a few of our listeners. But if we, in the next few days, if we raise $2,000 just for an ad, we'll run an ad on the death penalty in the local newspaper, hoping that jurors and witnesses who will testify in the penalty phase of Scott Peterson's trial, hoping that they'll see it. And there are many people who are Christians, but they're weak on the death penalty because their teachers are weak on the death penalty. The Sunday school teachers or the pastors, they don't know. And at Bob and Yart Live, we have been faithful and steady for 12 years on the air teaching people about the death penalty, all the New Testament support for capital punishment. In fact, this flyer begins with a question and answer. Question: do any New Testament books or personalities support execution? Answer: yes, Jesus, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Hebrews, Revelation, and even an angel all support the death penalty. Some Christians reject the death penalty for Scott Peterson on the grounds that Jesus repealed an eye for an eye, Christians must forgive, Christians should not judge, they should not repay evil for evil. Only those without sin can enforce execution, and God commanded, thou shalt not kill. Please read the rarely considered New Testament passages inside this flyer and then reevaluate these arguments against execution. So that's the front page of the flyer, and then what a great flyer it is. So if you'd like to help us, give us a call, 800-836-9278. Check us out online, kgov.com. Come on out to Denver Bible Church. And by the way, what a neat Christian school in Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center. Their number is 431-5653. Over 100 staff members, Christ-centered. What a neat school, 303-431-5653.